Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, Episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to sneeze?
Yeah, I was trying to prevent it.
Okay.
Well, it would be really bad to sneeze on our podcast.
Well, you can if you want to.
No.
Okay, so I did spray a little pine scent to kind of give us the idea of that being in the forest.
Right. As I glance over to your Star Wars poster, your Indiana Jones poster.
Just close
poster.
Your eyes. I'll spray some more. Just close your eyes.
No, that's fine.
Okay. We are really enjoying this show, and every episode, I think it gets better and better. So
oh, I do too.
It's just a lot of fun to take some time and do something together and mm-hmm. sit down. And yeah, I enjoy certain parts, and she enjoys certain parts, but it's something that we can share together, so... I think that's pretty cool.
And I think, too, the way we're watching it, you know, we're watching the show just to watch the show. And then we go back and rewatch it again to do more analysis. I do make mental notes as we're watching the show, but I go back for the details, and I think that it helps us get more out of it.
I think we both bring different things to the table, and I think that's what's pretty cool about it, too. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It's been an incredible week. We'll be talking about some Twitter things going on and some comments on the blog and the mm-hmm. podcast and all that.
Yeah.
But let's start with the recap. And you do it fantastic. And people have been commenting that they really enjoyed it. And I do, too.
Okay.
So we're going to start there.
Well, bear with me. So, you know, I'm going to try and get through this and remember everything. And if I have to glance at my notes, sorry. It's the way it is. This episode was where we get to see how Snow White and Prince Charming met. And the whole point is that we think we know how they met, maybe because of the fairy tale, but this shows a slightly different turn on it. So we're in the forest and we see there's a carriage going down the road and there's Prince Charming and this blonde girl inside. And she's kind of snotty. And she's like, this road is so bumpy. Why do we have to take this road? You know, we would have been better off on the other road. And he's like, no, let's just keep going. It's not a problem. So then they stop because there's a tree that's fallen in front of them on the road. And so Charming gets out of the carriage and she's bored, obviously, of this whole thing. And she's not enjoying the scenery. And anyway, he goes and looks at it and he says, oh, these marks, they're not... This tree didn't fall. It was actually cut. It was purposely placed here in the road, basically. So then while he's examining the tree, you see somebody jump on top of the carriage. And then he realizes it's an ambush. And so he turns back and then Blondie screams because somebody reached into the carriage and pulled his little pouch out of the carriage. And then jumps on one of the horses and rides off. Well, he grabs a horse and rides off after this person. And he... catches up and tackles this person and throws him on the ground. And then he rolls around and goes, show your face, you coward. And turns around and pulls the hood down and it's Snow White. And he goes, you're a girl. She's all, I'm a woman.
She takes a rock.
Yeah, she takes the rock and then she poshes him over the head and he kind of falls away. And he goes, you know what? No matter wherever you are, I'm going to find you. And then she gets away. She laughs and gets away. So then... it goes into the whole Storybook Maine. So now we're in the real world, and Mary Margaret's in the diner, and she is on a really bad first date. And she's talking to this guy, and he's like, wait, you want 15 kids? She's like, no, I was talking about the kids I teach at school. And he says, oh, yeah. And he's gradually getting bored with this, and also very distracted by Ruby, who's cleaning up some tables.
Who's that?
Ruby.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Little Red Riding Hood there.
Oh, that's right. She's in the show. Okay.
Yeah, she's in the show. And so anyway, Mary Margaret just goes, you know what? Bring me the check. And she walks away. And as she walks away, she's walking down the street and she sees Emma sitting in her car. They have their little conversation and tells her she had a really bad date. And she goes, but then I guess if it was true love, everyone would have it. Then she says, well, you know, why don't you, I've got a room. You know, an extra room? And she says, no, I'm fine. And she says, well, if you decide, you know, you want to change your mind, you know where to find me. So the next day, Mary Margaret goes to the hospital and she sees Henry in John Doe's bedroom, or the room where they keep him, or they're keeping him. And of course, Henry starts asking her questions, you know, do you know who he is? Do you know if he has any family or friends? And she's like, I have no idea. And she's like, no one's claimed him, which I thought was kind of an interesting point. But Henry says, well, look, it's him. He actually ends up showing Emma the book. He's at his little castle that he likes to go to out by the shore. And he's talking to Emma and he goes, look, see the scar on John Doe's chin is exactly like the one for Prince Charming. It's him. It's got to be him. And she's like, yeah, other people have scars. It's not a big deal. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's the curse that's keeping them apart. And then he says she needs to read the story to him. He'll remember. And then he'll come back to her. And so then Emma says, okay, yeah, let's do it. I'll talk to her. I'll get her to do it. And Henry's like real excited. Well, she goes to Mary Margaret's house and she tries to explain to her that she should really read the story to him and then Mary Margaret realizes, oh, okay, so we're going along with his story so that when it doesn't happen, Henry will stop this crazy talk about being fairy tales. She ends up at the hospital. She reads the story to him. And in the middle of the story, he grabs her hand. He's in a coma, but he grabs her hand. And so then she runs to the doctor and the doctor goes like, no, you're imagining things. He probably, you know, maybe you just thought you heard the machine beeping and maybe that, you know, she's like, maybe you fell asleep. She's like, no, I know what I saw. The minute she leaves, the doctor calls Regina to tell her something's happening and that it was Mary Margaret who was the volunteer who noticed the brain activity. The next thing you see is that we're back in fairy tale land and Snow White is getting dressed to go out, we assume to maybe rob some more people of their gold, who knows? But she's obviously going out to do some work. And she walks out of her tree house, which is funny because it's not really like what we think of as a tree house. That's just a funny little play on words. It's this tree, and she comes out of the tree, and she walks right into a net. And it scoops her up in the air, and we realize that it's Prince Charming who's trapped her. And she's like, you're Prince Charming, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, you know what? I have a name. And she goes, I don't care. I prefer Prince Charming. So then he says, I just want my jewels back. I need the jewels, specifically the ring that was my mother's that I'm planning to give to this. And he starts to say, you know, he says fiancé. And she goes, what, that nag with a bad attitude? Which is funny because how did she know? I mean, anyway, she wasn't in there for more than 2 seconds to meet her. So that was kind of funny. I think that's like a little bit of a, she's starting to feel things for him. So he realizes who she is. And he says, he pulls out a poster and it's a wanted poster. And it's that she's wanted for murder, treason, and crimes against the queen. And he threatens to basically take her and turn her in for the ransom money. So she's not thrilled about that. Next we see Emma in the diner. And she basically is wearing one of Regina's shirts. You can kind of tell it's her shirt, but she thanks him for the shirt. Then Mary Margaret comes running in and Emma's all excited thinking she's going to tell Henry that it was all a big, you know, waste of time. And Emma, she says, what's going on? And she goes, he woke up. She said, wait, what? He woke up. And Henry goes, we should go talk to her again. So, or he says, actually, we have to go back. So they run back to the hospital, and when they get there, the doctor and everybody's standing around, and they're like, wait, what's going on? Where is he? And they go, we don't know. He's gone. What happened to him? You know, they don't know. And then Regina's standing there at his bedside, and they're like, why are you here? And she says, because I'm his contact. I'm his emergency contact. I found him years ago by the side of the road. And so the doctor's like, we don't know what really happened to him, but he's been on a feeding tube for years, and so if he did wake up, he wouldn't be able to walk away even if he did. So they think maybe foul play. And then Regina gets kind of pissy and snotty with Emma and just says, you know, look, you enjoy my shirt because that's all you're getting from me. And so then they decide to review the tapes of the hospital security system to see where he's going, what happened to him. They realize that the tape that they were watching wasn't even the right tape because the decorations that Henry's class had been putting up when Mary Margaret first saw him in the hospital, they're not even in there. So when they see the real tape, they see him kind of stumbling out the door. And then Mary Margaret says, "Where does that door lead?" And one of the security guards says, "Oh, leads into the woods." Actually, it's a janitor, Leroy. And that leads directly into the woods. So we see the woods, and you assume it's them walking in the woods to find him. Oh, no, it's Prince Charming and Snow White. And they're walking across this big log, and, you know, they're wandering around through. And he says, "You know, you're not much of a jewelry person. You said so yourself. What's with the necklace?" And she's like, "This necklace is a weapon. It is very deadly." So he essentially steals it from her. He talks about her and how, you know, what did she do? And she said, well, you know, the huntsman was supposed to rip her heart out, and he took pity and compassion on her and didn't do it and let her go. She's like, apparently not everyone is a soulless royal. So she's been hiding in the woods ever since, because obviously she's a wanted woman. Charming starts to talk to her about, well, what happened? Snow tells him that the queen blames her for ruining her life. And he says, well, did you? And she said, yes. And then she keeps walking. She doesn't elaborate, so we don't know why. She goes to a stream and she's like, I'm thirsty, can I have a drink? And he says, sure. So he goes down there with her. She takes a drink. And when he gets close enough to take one himself, she whacks him across the chest or whatever and pushes him, basically knocks him out, knocks him down. And then she takes his purse and runs out on the road, where three black knights basically come and stop her. They grab her, and she realizes she doesn't have her fairy dust on her because Charming took her necklace. She's kind of in peril at this point. Then we go back to Maine again, where the sheriff and Mary Margaret and Emma are looking in the woods for Prince Charming. And the girls are like, you know, where do we go from here? And he goes, look, this is my world. I know how to take care of this. And he obviously knows how to find people. He knows how to track. So he kind of goes one direction. And then Snow starts asking her about her job as a bail bondswoman, because that's what she does. And she's like, don't you kind of also look for people? And she says, well, yeah, that's kind of what I did. And she says, well, is it because you were looking for your parents? Did you ever find them? And Emma says, well, it depends who you ask. And then Henry all of a sudden shows with a big, huge flashlight. We flash back to fairy tale world, and the Black Knights are holding Snow to a tree so they can rip her heart out. In the midst of this, he's about to plunge the dagger right in her heart and just cut it out. He is basically shot with an arrow in the back of the head by Prince Charming, who comes in, and then he defeats the other two knights, or at least one of them. And the other one, as Snow White runs to grab for a sword herself on one of the other horses, he picks her up by the back of her shirt and throws her over the front of the horse's neck and starts right off with her. Well, Charming sees this. He's already dispatched the other guard. And so then he goes, grabs a bow and arrow, and just starts running through the woods. Doesn't even bother with a horse. He starts running full tilt. And he takes quick aim, and there he goes. He nails the third knight, and then Snow White gets, control of the horse. She, comes back, and she's like, you saved me. And he says, well, seemed like the honorable thing to do. And then he says, are you ready? She says, for what? And he says, because we're going to go get my jewels. Because she told him originally, when he first confronted her, that she'd sold them. And so she was going to take him to go get them back. That was the whole agreement. And she explained to him that she was trying to get all this money so she could go to a quiet solitude place where she wouldn't have to be around, she wouldn't have to worry, and she could be happy. So anyway, back in the Maine, in the woods, Henry keeps trying to tell Mary Margaret that Prince Charming is looking for her. And she's getting kind of, disappointed, or I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but she's like, she didn't want to crush his spirit, but at the same time, she didn't believe him. And so then all of a sudden the sheriff calls him over, and it's John Doe's hospital wristband, and there's blood on it. They kind of are very visibly worried about him. Back in the woods again, in the fairy tale world, we see Snow and Charming. They're riding a horse, and they come to the troll bridge. She basically tells them, look, don't mess with these folks. I can deal with them. You just keep quiet. Don't say anything. And so they walk over, and she places coins on the side of the bridge on the wall. And he's like, there's nobody here. And she goes, oh no, they will be. And so then all of a sudden these trolls climb up from under the bridge, and they're up there, and they start kind of harassing them a little bit. And they're a little nervous because of the prince. They don't know who he is, but they're nervous. And she says, no, it's okay. He's with me. He's totally fine. He's, you know, we just want to get back the ring. That's all we want. You know, you can have whatever you want. We'll give you the gold. Not a problem. Just, you can keep everything else. We just want the ring. So whatever you paid me for the full amount, you know, of the whole pouch, I'll give you that just for the ring. They're convinced that he's, you know, there's something wrong and that he's too eager for it. And so they start to attack. And Snow White decides, you know, he starts kicking at one of the trolls, and the captain grabs her and holds on to her and is basically threatening her. And somehow this whole little fight ensues, and then she manages to get a hold of the necklace that has this weapon inside of it, which is actually fairy dust. And she pulls it out, and she, as they're about to come get them, she throws it on the captain or one of them, and he basically shrinks down into a cockroach. And then she does it to the other two, and they grab their stuff and they start leaving. And he feels really bad because now her, you know, her dust, she was originally saving it for somebody else. He figured it was the queen. She never really corrected him on that. And he says, "I'm really sorry. Now you don't have it." She's like, I'll think of something else, you know, no problem. What happened though was that at one point in there in the middle, she started running off and thinking he's behind her. He's not. And so she goes back and she rescues him. And he says, "Oh my gosh, you saved me." And she's like, "It seemed like the honorable thing to do." So it was kind of that reversal. We go back to the present, to the, you know, real world. And we're at the toll bridge. And they're looking around. And Mary Margaret sees John Doe lying on his side in the stream. And so they run over there and they try to pull him out. And she's starting to do CPR, and she's leaning over and she's whispering, "You know, come back to, you know, don't leave me," you know. And then she starts doing CPR. And
originally she said, "Come back to us.
Come back to us."
And then she leaned in closer and said, "Come back to me."
Right. Yeah. And then she starts doing CPR on him, and she starts going into mouth to mouth, and then it turns into a kiss. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he starts coughing, and he looks at her and he says, "You saved me." And so she's like, "Yeah, you know, oh my gosh, you know, who are you?" And he's like, "I don't know." So, you know, Henry's all pleased with himself because then, you know, see, they're reunited, and he figures now that everything's, you know, moving forward as planned. And Emma's kind of confused by all this, but she kind of realizes, you know, that he's right. Mary Margaret did save him. So Sheriff had called for an ambulance. They get him back to the hospital, and they're in there, and they're putting him in back in a room. And a blonde woman comes running in yelling, "David, David." And then everyone's like, "Who the heck is that?" And Regina says, "His wife." And they're shocked and stunned by that. So back in fairy tale land, James, or Prince Charming, gives the gold to Snow White because she just, you know, gotten back his ring. And she gives him the ring. And he says, "Yeah, it's not really your style, is it?" And she's like, "Eh, there's only one way to find out." And she puts it on. And they both kind of have this funny little look. They share this little look when she has it. And then she kind of comes back to reality and says, "You know, yeah, you're right. It's not me." And then she hands it back to him. And so then they leave, and she turns around and watches him walk away. And then she kind of shakes herself off, and she goes about her merry little way. Back at the hospital, we're seeing that Regina's explaining that this man is David Nolan, and that his wife, Catherine, is, she'd been, I guess, she hadn't been really looking for him, but, she says, you know, she found her after they started reviewing all these tapes and stuff. Well, then Henry, she tells, you know, Henry's about to go home. Regina's taking him home, and he tells Mary Margaret, he goes, "Don't believe them. You're the one he was looking for. That you two are meant to be together." And she goes, "Oh no, he went to the toll bridge because that was the last thing I read him." And she goes, no, "You were the one he was looking for because you were meant to be together." And of course, Mary Margaret is kind of like wistful because I think she started believing maybe she could have a future with this guy. And then, she runs after Regina, Emma runs after Regina and Henry. And she goes, "You know, this is a load of crap. Who is this woman? You know, why is it that he's been here for years and you just now found her?" And she's like, "You don't understand. Apparently they'd had this, you know, falling out." And it just didn't make any sense to Emma that, you know, even though, well, they'd had a falling out, but then why didn't she go look for him if he was completely, you know, if he truly disappeared? They watched the reunion. And so then Regina says she's really grateful. She says, "You know, as much as you're rude insolence and into, you know, has been a pain. She goes, I'm really kind of grateful because it's made me realize that I'm really glad that I have Henry, because not having someone in your life is the worst curse imaginable. And then she leaves. So then the last thing is we see Mary Margaret's watching, you know, David and his wife hugging, and he's kind of awkwardly hugging her. And then he turns and looks at her, and while he's watching her, she's, the camera pans down, you see her playing with the ring, which happens to be the ring that Prince Charming was going to give his fiance. We, next scene, in the very last scene, we see Emma knocking on Mary Margaret's door and says, do you still have a room available? And she nods and lets her in. And that's the end of that episode.
We got a voicemail.
We did.
We did.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I want to play it.
Oh, please do.
Hey, guys. This is Dave. I was wondering if you guys could focus more on Ruby and her storyline. Thanks. Bye.
And we are more than happy. Well, I am.
I know you
more
are.
More than happy to cover Ruby. And so what we've done is we've created this special thing.
And by we...
I'm sorry, Ruby, but look, it's fine.
Ruby.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruby Watch. Once Upon a Time fan podcast. We'll be watching Ruby for you.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yes. Ruby can really serve a cup of cocoa. I don't know if you knew that. She even put cinnamon on top.
Yeah.
She does.
But she didn't, like, that wasn't her idea. She's not that brilliant. That's not her idea. That was Henry's.
We don't know that. She could be going to school.
He said he requested it.
Well, but I mean, she may have known.
Yeah, whatever.
She's also a snappy dresser.
Yeah, in those PBR heels.
She is a snappy dresser.
Who cleans a diner? Well, anyway, who cleans anything in 5-inch heels?
Someone with incredible balance. And we need to, you know, give her props for that. So anyway, we've been asked to do that. So anyway, this brings us to the end of another Ruby Watch. Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You man.
Ruby Watch. We're watching Ruby.
You're watching Ruby.
Okay.
You're watching. Not watching.
So let's do some connections now.
Oh, okay.
Overall, what I got to say is, for this show, I love the choreography and the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible. I haven't even talked about it till now, and I'm kind of sad about it.
Why?
I think we may have mentioned it with the pilot, but they really do a great job with the sword fighting and all that.
Yeah, they must have really good stunt dudes and fight choreographers. Which is kind of funny when you think about it.
Well, and yeah. And,
but they make it seem very natural. It's not like you don't feel like you're watching a staged fight. It's very natural. It's very, very easy to do.
But it's cool, too. And we'll get to, well, anyway, there's a swoop move that Charming makes.
Mm-hmm.
And knocks this guy, you know, he just does a half circle in the air and then falls. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
He knocks him off his feet.
Right. And it's nice that not only do they have great writing and great acting and all that, mm-hmm. but they really focus on the fights and all that.
Right.
So that's really cool. But right off the bat, Snow White is just, she's...
Kick-ass?
She's a badass. Okay? I mean, I know somebody's going to say, no, don't say that. But anyway, she is.
She is.
I mean, and what I thought when I first saw her is it was more like a Robin Hood.
Yeah, she does have that Robin Hood feel.
Jumping down on the carriage, grabbing the riches from the rich.
Well, and she even said she normally... But what was interesting, though, I don't know if you noticed this or not, she wasn't stealing from the rich. She said very specifically she usually steals from the queen because she's the only one that uses that road, and it threw her off because she thought that was the queen's carriage. How was she supposed to know? She didn't know. It was very similar to, you know, obviously the queen's carriage. So I thought that was very telling, too, because, again, there's clearly this just rivalry between Snow White and the Queen that is just a lot more than we know at this point.
Right. And we'll definitely find out, but it's one of those mysteries at this point. So the first word that Prince Charming utters is, "Wherever you are, I will find you." And he says it in, you know, as a warning. But then later on, he says it in love, you know,
Exactly. So,
anyway, I think it's cool that the same line can be uttered in different ways.
Yeah, he said that in the pilot, if I remember right.
Right.
He said that to her, you know, when she was afraid they were going to be separated with the wardrobe. And he's like, "Don't worry about it. Never, wherever you are, I'm going to find you." And
right.
So that was, it's very sweet, very romantic.
Yep. So when Snow White hits Prince Charming with the rock, he gets a cut on the face.
It's on his chin.
And it's the same scar that he has in his real life.
John Doe life.
John Doe. Mm-hmm. So, and also John Doe, kind of fits in with the whole forest, huntsman, that kind of a thing.
Right.
Disney, Bambi, just that whole arena.
Right.
It really fits
in. It's very fairy tale.
So, then, and also Henry mentions the scar, too.
He does.
But also I wanted to say that was very much like Jack when he was stabbed in the throat by Locke. That same scar and that same bleeding was going on in the real or the Flash Sideways world and also on the island world.
Mm.
So that same type
of
thing.
Lost
with
reference.
Lost, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So Mary Margaret Blanchard's blind date was distracted by Ruby.
Oh no.
So we just want to keep you up. Ruby Watch. Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. We're watching Ruby for you. So just keep in mind, we're watching Ruby. Okay.
Oh my
and
gosh.
She's great at what she does.
Yeah, let's move on.
All right. So Henry's school sweater. Now we have a picture of the emblem or symbol.
Right.
And I think the top of it looks like a lighthouse to me, but
I got a different feel. I looked at it a couple times, and I can see where it kind of, sort of, a little bit resembles a lighthouse, but it also kind of looks like a tower on top of a castle a little bit,
okay.
Or a crown. That's what I also saw out of it. Because in some pictures that I've seen, it's kind of almost the little three little arches that maybe looks like the lighthouse part, you know, light part of the lighthouse.
Right.
That to me looked more roundish and almost like crown-like. That was just my take.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean,
but again, we don't know what the actual symbol is. And I mean,
right.
I haven't done any research on the heraldry of that yet, but you never know.
There's an open book and a slash in the background.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, could mean, obviously, Henry has a book that's very important.
That,
so.
You know, the symbol, a symbol of the book. But it's also, I mean, it fits in very nicely with a school, which is a higher education, learning, etc. So, I mean, there's the name of the town in and of itself is kind of funny if you think about it. We haven't really talked about it. Storybrooke.
Right.
So, Storybook.
Right.
Storybrooke.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But then things happen, you know, fairy tales, you know, there's always a bubbling brook somewhere.
Right.
So, anyway.
So when Mary Margaret was reading the story to John Doe, he grabbed her hand, and in a way, again, I think it relates to the Lost finale section where people were kind of waking up out of a fog and remembering who they were. And even when he was awake, he said he didn't know who he was. And so that whole idea of, do I know you? Deja vu, that kind of a thing, that whole part of it.
So. Yeah, and I think too, I mean, I've heard medically speaking that people who've been in comas have claimed to hear everything that's going on around them, and they know things, they just can't communicate. And so, you know, maybe I look at it just plain and simply is that he really is remembering that he's Prince Charming somehow, some way. Everybody's starting to wake up.
Well,
like you said.
Let's think about this. I've checked around. I haven't checked thoroughly in every forum everywhere. But perhaps John Doe, James, David Nolan, was put under some type of a spell that kept him in some type of a coma. Now, not death or sleep.
Right. Well, a coma.
Right.
It's, you know, it's a state of unconsciousness.
I just want to set that out there.
Well, yes, that is true. That is true. And this just kind of popped into my head. I mean, it's fascinating that they named him David in the real world.
Right.
Which is funny because you're like, well, wait, why wouldn't they just keep his name James? But then Snow White is Mary Margaret Blanchard. That's not even, you know, close. So, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, ooh, David. Biblically speaking, David is the man who would be king. So yeah. Prince Charming is the man who would eventually be king, right?
And also there's Dave in Lost as well. So
well, there's a number of Daves in Lost.
And a Dave that called in about Ruby. Okay. So anyhow, Snow White lives in a hollowed out tree.
Yes.
Which is interesting because that's where, in a way, that's where they put Emma, baby Emma, in a inside of a tree.
Yes.
To portal from the fairy tale world into the real world.
Which maybe in her way, because she, you know, I mean, remember when she first ran into the nursery or the room where the tree was, after, you know, the guards came in and were attacking, you know, Prince Charming, and he's laying there on the floor, you know, she kept trying to kiss him to wake him up. So, you know, in her mind, she's thinking, okay, well, if it worked for him, you know, if it worked on me, maybe it'll work on him. Well, then I'm thinking maybe if she can put herself in a tree, she can feel safe, if that makes any sense. Because, I mean, you wouldn't know that it was actually a little place where she was staying. And she had a nice little apartment in there. She had lights and lanterns and things. It's not like it was just, you know, just a tree. It almost felt like a cave at first. I thought it was a cave.
In a way, it reminded me of, I think it was where either Peter Pan or Tinkerbell lived. It kind of had that kind of feel to me.
Peter Pan and the boys, the Lost Boys.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So Snow White, when she rode by in the green cape, reminded me a lot of Princess Leia and the outfit she wore on Endor. Now, obviously,
with the Ewoks.
Princess Leia on Endor did not have feathers, but just the green and the tan and the whole thing.
Snow White didn't have feathers on. It was a fur. It was more like fur.
All right.
It was a very hairy, furry thing.
Okay. It kind of looked like feathers to me.
But. Oh, yeah. I saw fur.
So, but just from a distance, in a way, it did remind me of Princess Leia on Endor.
It was very, very, like you said, very Robin Hood, very earthy. A lot of earth tone colors, and I can't explain it, but yeah.
So, when Snow White was captured by the rope...
the trap?
Trap. It reminded me a lot of Endor, the Ewoks captured Han, Chewie, and the rest in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And then I also was looking around in a couple of forums and sites, and Russo also did the same thing in Lost.
Yeah.
Because that was one of her traps.
Wasn't it
traps.
Saeed?
It may have been Saeed.
Or was somebody else?
Cannot remember.
I want to say it was Saeed. Because she did capture him at one point, I thought. If it wasn't him, then it would have been... I can't remember. Anyway.
Please call our phone, our voicemail line, and let us know. It's 567, I think. No, it's 657-333-0626. Just check the site, and it'll be the right number on there. I don't know. So, also, Prince Charming is maybe a stretch, but... Prince Charming said, I have a feeling that the queen is not as charming as I am. And it just reminded me of Vader when, you know, initially in the Star Wars saga, Vader was like the worst ever. And then when he got there, you know, the underlings are trying to say, oh, the Death Star is going to be fixed in time. And, you know, don't worry about it. And he said, look, I'm forgiving, but the Emperor who's coming is not as forgiving as I am. So I just, that kind of struck me there.
Okay.
The scene in the diner.
Yeah.
Where you know who was working.
Oh, yes.
See, all the shades of the... There was blue everywhere.
Yeah, we noticed...
Every person was wearing some kind of a blue, except for Ruby.
Except for Ruby, right.
But Mary Margaret, Emma, Henry, and when they got to the hospital later, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but there's a lot of blue in there.
Yes.
People wearing blue, and I think blue is associated to the real world.
Possibly.
So.
Yeah, I don't, well, you know, there's really not much blue in the fairy tale world that doesn't stand out to me.
Right.
I mean, it's there, but it just doesn't stand out. But then, you know, blue, I mean, does it represent blue as in sad?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a possibility, too.
I mean, it could be the, what was the painter? Van Gogh.
Oh,
Have the blue period.
Oh, Ooh, you're going to...
Yeah, it was Van Gogh, I thought.
I don't think it was Van Gogh. No.
Okay.
No.
Whoever the Rembrandt? Famous painter...
Rembrandt or
who had
Monet?
The blue period. No.
I'll have to look it up.
I think it was Van Gogh. I'm pretty sure, because of Doctor Who and all that.
You're going to make me, like...
Sorry.
That's all right. Let's see. Keep going. I'm doing my research.
So, I also wanted to talk about Henry bringing... Emma, one of Regina's shirts. First of all, I thought that was kind of a strange thing.
Why is that?
Just, I don't know. I mean, I just thought it was strange. But it, to me, it was like a person in battle wearing something from the other side, meaning that they have conquered them. And, you know, there was a story about David and King Saul when David actually crept up to where Saul was, when David was hiding from Saul because Saul was going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And he went into Saul's area where he and the troops are staying, and he took something. I think it was a cloak, and he took it. And in that way, he was saying, I could have killed you, but I mean, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
I have... Mm-hmm. something of yours.
Right.
And so it's kind of the same thing. I mean, maybe it's the same thing as, you know, certain times in history, people would scout people and keep those as, you know, whatever. So it's that's kind of what I got from it.
Possibly.
You know, Henry was saying, look, you're the savior. You're going to win. And here you go.
On a more emotional level, maybe. He was basically saying, you might be my mother, Regina, but I'm actually transferring that over to her. So his feelings for Regina, which he's not fond of her, he's actually putting his maternal feelings and attention on Emma. That's just a little thing that just came to me. And by the way, the blue period was Picasso.
Picasso.
He had a blue period.
Yep. Okay. So the... And we were kind of talking about this today. The mayor found John Doe on the side of the road.
Yeah, which is so funny because everything seems to happen at the side of the road.
Now, Emma was found on the side of the road. That's what she said.
That. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Someone must have told her.
Right.
Obviously, she was a child.
Right.
Couldn't remember. So we've got John Doe. We've got Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Cinderella crashed.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to skip ahead, but anyway, we obviously know that there is a barrier that they cannot leave.
Right.
And I'm just going to leave it there. There's other things involved coming up, but not yet.
So the question is the side of the road, quote unquote, is that like the outskirts of town? Is that the city limit? So the town itself, if you go outside the town limits, you're basically... That's when bad things happen, or that's the portal maybe to...
Yeah, we don't know what the bad things are.
Because...
But it says bad things happen.
Right, so. Right. But what's fascinating to me is, again, it comes back to... So this is this little town here in Maine. Where'd all these residents come from? And why are there no new residents? Like Henry said a couple times, you can't leave, bad things happen.
Right.
So,
and you know who you are.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the other thing you and I were talking about today is I said, I wonder if all the people who've come into Storybrooke, Maine have come at the same time, or if there's certain ones that are sent at certain times.
Well, but then again, okay, so we had the conversation. Remember, the clock stopped.
Right.
Which meant time stopped, which meant... Even though the sun rose, the sun set,
Fair
nobody
enough.
Seemed to be making marks on time, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. So as far as them coming all at the same time, coming at different times, I mean, Mary Margaret herself even said she's been mayor as long as I can remember. As right. long as she can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is we haven't talked to these people to find out how they got to Maine. I don't think they know how they got there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you start asking them again, the answer is going to be, well, I've been here as long as I can remember.
Sure.
And I don't think you're going to hear anybody say, well, I was born here. I've been here as long as I can remember.
And the fascinating thing, too, is from what I understand, is until the clock moved,
right.
nobody aged.
Right.
So Henry was right. always his age. Which as is well as everybody else.
But was he?
Well,
no, I don't think he was. And here's why. Here's why. He aged only because he wasn't born there. Right?
Okay, well,
think about right. it. Think about it. The queen, the mayor even said she got him when he was 3 weeks old. So he was born somewhere else.
Enough.
He was born in Phoenix. In fact, we talked about that last show. He was born in Phoenix mm-hmm. to Emma. And 3 weeks later, he ends up in Maine.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So
I just at least wanted to kind of float that out there.
Well, and ultimately, he's the only one who's ever aged there. And by the way, where are all the other kids? I mean, they're
right,
there, but
right.
we don't see them wandering around. They're not, like, you know, playing in the streets or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird little town.
And if he was born in Phoenix and aged outside of Storybrooke, Maine, how did Mr. Gold acquire him? Outside
exactly.
of Storybrooke,
well,
Maine.
That's a whole other ball game. I think there's
See,
something.
I want to talk about that on its own. Just I want to talk about Mr.
Time.
Gold on its own. But
yeah, we'll have
anyway.
To talk about him. Yeah.
Okay. So just on a biblical side note, when Snow White was hiding from the queen, it reminds me of Elijah hiding from Jezebel. Just the same type of hiding, kind of in plain sight, but you know, not really running mm-hmm. forever, but just. Hiding nearby, and
right.
then it also sounds like... Anyway, so that was that. The John Doe's wristband read, I don't know what this means, but I at least want to get it out there, is John Doe, DOB, date of birth, unknown, 671-40404. It's not a lost number. I don't know what it is.
No, but if you look at it, there's something... I don't know.
It's like a phone number. Or, well, no. Anyway... So there's that. There's another line that was interesting when Snow White and Prince Charming neared the troll bridge. She sent the horses away because she said the horses scared the trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "We walk from here," which is directly a line from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And then also she said, you know, you can come, but be quiet.
Keep quiet. She said the word keep quiet.
Okay. So for some reason, it reminds me of a line that Harrison Ford said somewhere. So for what it's worth.
Probably.
I looked
one of
around.
The
I couldn't find it. But anyway.
I bet it was one of the indie movies.
Yeah. So we were talking
possibly
about the
Star Wars.
Yeah, possibly. So the bad fairy dust. You mentioned to me that mm-hmm. That Maleficent was a fairy.
Yeah.
Okay. So more than likely, that's where the...
Well, possibly. Possibly.
Okay.
We don't know. I mean, how many fairies could there be? There could be a lot of them in Storybrooke.
Okay.
I mean, in fairy tale world. There could be a ton of them. Because, I mean, look, the queen wasn't a fairy, yet she's able to turn herself into dust. She basically was a witch, I guess. But Maleficent was referred to in the story, both the Disney movie and the story, as a fairy.
Okay.
And she was... Anyway... So she wasn't a witch. She was a fairy. There's a difference.
Okay. I just wondered who that was, and we kind of talked mm-hmm. about it. So the bad fairy. I wasn't aware.
But is it a bad fairy?
Well, that's what she said. I got this from a bad fairy.
Was it a bad fairy?
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember her saying bad, but anyway.
Yeah, well, it stuck out.
Yeah.
So troll bridge, toll bridge, kind of funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's obviously the troll bridge and a toll bridge. That's the tie-in.
And, again, I think it was another of those same points. So you go with me here. I mm-hmm. wonder if Storybrooke, Maine is on the exact same spot in some way as the fairy tale land. And maybe it didn't, they didn't go anywhere, but they went ahead in time. Earmarked time when we talk about Mr. Gold.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
No, I think that's a plausible, you know, possibility.
Bridge, underneath the bridge. I mean, they had interactions on the bridge.
Sure.
Just saying.
Sure.
So.
Well, the troll bridge is where I think Snow White and Prince Charming first fell in love. Mm-hmm. That's where they realized that they really had something.
Yep. And we talked about her kiss, and she mentioned come back to me. So she was kind of, wow, this may work.
Exactly.
If this fairy tale stuff is true, and I am Snow White, and I did come back, maybe. So.
But do you think that's what she really... See, to me, it's almost like... It's
like
almost
a nurse or something?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. What I'm thinking of is, so, you know, people say things and sometimes they go, where'd I get that? You know what I mean? And it's that there's the reality of who they are or this personality or something, it just comes to you. And I think she just said it out of, because I don't think she was thinking consciously, well, if I was Snow White, I think she really truly for a minute realized she was Snow White.
Okay.
And it just was a split second, like little glimpse for her. And you know, it's that slow awakening. I mean, let's compare it to Lost. I mean, how long did it take some of those people to figure out that they were, you know, who they were on the island versus who they were in the real world?
Right.
So, I mean, you have that parallel, whereas I think it's this slow awakening, you slow realization. Because sometimes if you hit yourself with something that big all at once, it can be quite a shock.
The mayor later on said it's entirely possible to get lost here.
Oh, so that's because she also said this town is bigger than you realize. So that's an interesting thing to say too, because again, you know, we've only seen a very small snippet of the town itself. Mm-hmm. So she's saying it's bigger than you realize, but yet she's like everywhere they go.
Right.
So is it really big, or is she referencing the fact that, yeah, maybe like you said, maybe that is her like hint that this is the fairy tale world. We're on the same spot just several hundred years later.
You know, man, perhaps maybe the actual when Emma wins this battle coming.
Yeah.
That it's like, it is sort of like a switch goes on and it flips around.
Maybe.
And it's like, we've been here the whole time.
Right.
And then that will bring in the whole Wizard of Oz idea.
Right.
You know,
right.
I didn't need to go home. I'm already home, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 That kind of a thing.
Yep. No, totally agree.
So, but I just wanted to highlight that, you know, the mayor said, you know, to get lost here.
Right.
Lost.
Right.
Kind of
right.
Funny. Catherine Nolan or Nolan.
Nolan.
Catherine Nolan, Kate. So that's easy.
Right.
So then I want to talk about the ring too. Mm-hmm. Now there are certain things and that are the same.
Okay.
Between both worlds.
Right.
One of the funniest things we didn't even highlight last show is that gnome. That gnome cracked me up.
Oh, right.
She's laughing at the evil queen, and she zapped.
And he points at her and laughing, and then all of a sudden she zaps him, and then the next thing you see is that exact gnome is in her garden.
Front yard, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yep.
Because I don't know about you, but I've never seen a gnome that looked like that. Most gnomes are in slightly different positions.
True.
So that's fascinating that, and that does kind of beg the question, does she know who she is?
Hmm.
I think she does.
Well, It is
on
possible.
Some level.
It is possible. I mean,
whether fully or not, I think on some level she realizes who she is.
So also the ring. Now, if we follow the story in the fairy tale land, he took the ring, got married, let's say, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he had second thoughts. Maybe he left whiny at the altar and then went and got Snow White. I mean, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, and we don't know yet. We don't know. I mean, that's a very real possibility. Is maybe he got cold feet and realized that he really wanted Snow White. Maybe he went after her, or maybe he was too afraid. And Snow, being the badass that she is, she goes and interrupts him.
Right.
And then they run off together.
Well, and I wondered,
The Graduate.
And I wondered at the road when they were leaving, parting each other.
Yes, yeah.
That I was waiting for the, no, wait. You know, that's a classic love story.
Well, and the reality is, all we saw was them turned and parting. I don't remember seeing, that was the last we saw of the fairy tale world in this episode.
Right.
So as far as we know, that still could come.
Okay.
You know, he could turn around and go, you know what? No, I this, and go after her, or vice versa, or they come back to each other in the middle. That's how they do it. Who knows? We won't know until they show us.
The one thing that I learned from Lost is never believe anything that someone says happened.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah that's true.
Because that's just somebody's either what they saw, what they saw,
right,
or what they said happened.
Well,
you can't trust that. Because what actually happened is completely different. So I'm telling everyone, stick that in the back of your mind.
Right.
So.
Right. No, okay. It's true. Because people will say things that will sound like they're telling you or they're agreeing with you, when in fact they're actually referring to something else.
So the gnome is exactly the same in both worlds.
Yes.
And the ring somehow... Now, she had the ring, okay?
Yes, she did.
So,
which she would have, having been married to Charming at the end, before the curse.
Let me say this, though. Is a lot of people are flip-flopped in both worlds. They don't hold the same position, the same situation.
But close. Well, okay, so think about it. Archie Hopper is a brilliant example, right? He is a therapist. What's the whole point of a therapist?
Well, okay.
Right? To listen to somebody's problems and help guide them on their path to figuring out who they are.
All right.
Okay? Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience.
Right.
Who was there to guide him on his path to becoming a real boy.
Fair enough. Okay.
So you have that. And then again and again. Now, here's some speculation I've been hearing little snippets of. The sheriff. We've talked about this last time or the time before, where we don't know who he is in the fairy tale world. But who have we not met in the fairy tale world yet? We haven't seen the huntsman yet.
Right.
Have we?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the sheriff is hunting down people, hunting down criminals... And he's basically at the beck and call of the mayor, because that's what the huntsman was.
No, yeah, it's a good
point. So, I mean, yeah, their names may be different, but I think if you really look at what their occupations were, what their...
Fair enough. Okay.
I mean,
it just seemed to me...
I could keep going.
It seemed to me that some things were kind of flip. Dr. Whale...
Uh-huh. Right.
Is not the same... As the fairy tale world. There may be certain instances where things are just
not...
Who was
he in the fairy tale world?
I think it's the whale.
You think it's the Pinocchio's
whale? I think it's Monstro.
Okay. So, if that's the case, what was Monstro's role? Monstro basically swallowed up Pinocchio.
Right.
We haven't seen any... We've only seen a glimpse of Dr. Whale. We don't know.
I know. So, anyway...
And here's the other thing. Just because he has the name Whale doesn't mean necessarily he's Monstro.
Okay.
He could have a different characterization in the fairy tale world,
let's put this on hold.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it. But anyway, I at least wanted to kind of get that out there to see.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to some... We got some... First of all, let's talk about... Now, you are following Jennifer Goodwin.
Yes.
On Twitter.
And Josh Dallas, and Lana Perilla, and... Jennifer Morrison.
Right. But
and then maybe a couple of others. Actually, Lee Ehrenberg, who plays Grumpy.
Yep.
Leroy.
And I'm following Sleepy now, who gave the show a nice shout out. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate that. And also Sleepy did, like, not too long ago.
Sleepy did?
Honestly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, my apologies.
So I started. Okay, Bashful did, and I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely.
And,
that's awesome.
And Sleepy did today. So fantastic.
That you guys have no idea how cool that is for us.
Listen. We love the show.
We do. We absolutely love it.
And we want to support the show as much as possible. And it is really cool that the actors take the time. They don't have to.
No.
To follow folks on Twitter and give a little shout out here and there. But we are behind you 100%. We want this show to really succeed. And that's why we do the podcast. And that's why
absolutely.
We do what we can on these social media tools and all that. So thank you.
And by the way, I'm just going to offer this out there. Anybody who's on that show who would love to come on our show and talk to us about it.
Sure.
Seriously, contact us. We would do it in a heartbeat. We'd move heaven and earth to make it happen.
Because we want to support you. That's the whole thing is I had an intern job, and I know Hollywood, especially now these days, if it's not successful, it's gone.
Right.
And so when we find a good show, we want to make sure that we can do what we can to tell people about it, to support it, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to understand where we're coming from.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? So that's where we're coming from. We really appreciate what you do. We really love the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to come on and talk about it, do an interview, fantastic. If you even want to just do a shout out, you can call the voicemail line. Just say hello.
Seriously, yes.
You know, this is so-and-so from Once Upon a Time, you know. And I just want to say thanks to all the fans. Whatever. Okay. So, okay. So, but Jennifer Goodwin does something really cool is she tweets during the episode.
She did.
And you actually found out a couple of things.
Yeah. She happened to be tweeting during this episode and she had some funny little stories and she was talking about how when they were dragging, John Doe out of the water, when they found him, how freezing cold that water was. And that, when she kept saying, slow down. That was actually her. That was not her in character saying that, but they kept it in there because it seemed to kind of fit with where they were going with it. I think she was afraid she was about to drop him or she was having a problem. She couldn't catch up or whatever. And she was basically telling the other actors to slow down, but they kept that in the show as part of, Mary Margaret's, dialogue. Another thing was she was talking about how kind of scary the tree trunk was when they were walking across it, she and Prince Charming, when she was Snow White. What was the other thing? Oh, the other funny one was when they were on the troll bridge and the troll guard had a hold of her. He kept apologizing for touching her boobies, which I thought was kind of funny and cute. And then she mentioned that his voice, I mean, obviously he had prosthetics in his mouth, so it kind of garbled it a little bit more, but she says that's his natural voice. He wasn't modulated. He wasn't, there were no sound effects. He's literally got that deep gravelly voice, which is pretty cool actually. So, those are the things that I remember very distinctly. There may have been a few other things, but,
But isn't that just the best thing in the world?
Mm-hmm.
You're watching and then you hear somebody. You know, we've loved Jennifer Goodwin for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, she was awesome in Walk the Line. We both watched Big Love. And then you watched all the movies that she's been in.
Oh, yeah.
So,
one of my
really
favorites.
Cool.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's Just Not That Into You.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great movie. And then I knew from way back when, back in the mid-90s, there was a show called Ed. Mm-hmm. And some people may remember it as it was the Bowling Alley Lawyer show. She was a young little high school student there on that show. And I remember looking at her and thinking, what an adorable girl. And she is going to be something special. That's a girl to watch. I'm making a mental note of who she is. Ironically, she was the girlfriend on that show of Justin Long, who she then co-starred with in He's Just Not That Into You. And
cool.
I remember watching the two of them thinking to myself, those are pretty amazing young actors. And I think we're going to see a lot more of them in the future. And what do you know? So, Jennifer is so talented, so very talented. And, I think she's just adorable. She's just like, she just seems like the kind of girl you'd want to just like hang out with and, seems like a real sweet girl. And I don't know. I think she's just amazing.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap the show up here. There's still some more things we want to discuss. There's some emails and different posts and things for the show and the blog. We're at about an hour, 3 minutes. I don't want to go longer than that. Okay. So we're going to stop here. There are some things that we're going to discuss that you've sent in and from Twitter and different places and Facebook and all that. So thank you so much. We're going to cover that in the next episode. I just don't want it to go too long. Okay. So thanks so much for listening and telling your friends, and please subscribe. At this point, I have put the show into for iTunes. I haven't got approval back, but you can subscribe via RSS feed and keep in touch with us. Our
website?
The email, the website is onceuponatimepodcast.com, and the email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. And the Twitter feed is OUAT podcast, at OUAT podcast. We are going to do some cool episodes coming up, especially during the break. We know it's going to come.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some fun things about the fairy tales. We're going to do some shows focusing on the different actors in the show. Yeah. We have a lot of things planned. So the voicemail line is 657-333-0626. Please give us a call with your theories or your input or your feedback, what you like, what you didn't, that kind of a thing. So again, thanks so much for listening. This is Jeff Roney and
Colleen Roney
and the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. We'll see you guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.